Gomarjo of Mecklenburg Square. This is TobielPod.com coming to you from our makeshift studio in scenic Good Enough College, which is a real place in London. Today is Friday, the 18th of May. As you will have noticed, we're a day late today because we have a special surprise. We have availed ourselves of the presence of the much-missed Will Dunbar. On this date in 1652, Rhode Island passed the first law in the English-speaking North American colonies, making slavery illegal. In 1974, India detonates its first nuclear bomb. And 3 years ago today, in 2009, the Sri Lankan Civil War ends when the government forces end the war by defeating the LTTE. Okay, last week, a whole lot of natural disasters. There was an earthquake, which was quite frightening for all concerned, although it seems like nobody was killed. There's a little bit of structural damage here and there, but nothing too horrendous. Then on very early Sunday morning, there were torrential rains, which caused floods and the death of three adults and two children, tragically. The area, small streets, small houses, many of them run down, slum-like properties, were swept through by a muddy torrent, which ran from hilltops down to the junction of Gorgasali, Gulia, and Gulua streets in Ortachala. Mukiani near Guldani was also damaged. Tens of houses were damaged or completely demolished. Cars were destroyed. There was a motorboat that ended up in the middle of the street. Part of the Armenian Surbnishan Church on Silver Street in Tbilisi collapsed as a result of it.
Oh, no.
Although it was in fairly horrendous shape as it was anyway. I mean, it's the church has really completely been allowed to be destroyed. How that relates to relations between the Georgian and Armenian Orthodox Church and the government, governments of Georgia and Armenia, I do not know.
It relates directly to that.
Yeah, well, yes, in the decay of the Armenian churches in Tbilisi is really a terrible
indictment.
Sad thing. Indictment of, I'm not exactly sure who it's an indictment of, but it's an indictment. And it's good that the government recognized them as, you know, legal entities, although I don't see a whole lot of construction going on since that time of these churches. The city hall has announced temporary housing to approximately 15 families. The estimates of the damage were 7 to 8 million lari. Important question is, could this have been avoided? In the beginning, the city was saying that the floods happened because water collectors couldn't deal with any more water. But then they said that if the houses had been correctly, you know, no one would have died, which is, you know, strange since there's practically no building codes in Georgia. Democracy and Freedom Watch, Civil.ge, had a great deal about this. Misha said he knew floods were expected, but could not imagine that they would be so big. He also said that he'll set up a special commission to register all the late construction buildings. Did not go any further in saying what would happen to these buildings after the commission reports. There was also damage in Kakheti region, including flooding of vineyards. There was a hailstorm in Sagarejo district in Kakheti. There was also a little bit of hail in Tbilisi on Monday. Goga Khachidze, the often goofy minister of environment, talked about, you know, the needs for weather forecasts that are a little bit more serious. The Bidzina constitutional amendment passed, so from now on, those persons who were born or have been living in Georgia during the last five, and I'm quoting right now, those persons who were born or have been living in Georgia during the last 5 years and are citizens of EU member states have a right to take part and vote in parliamentary and presidential elections till January 1st, 2014.
So this is the interesting thing. Does that sunset clause mean that, so let's say Bidzina does get elected to parliament, become speaker of parliament, whatever. Does that mean that on January 1st, 2014...
He turns into a pumpkin.
Exactly. He no longer gets to vote. He no longer gets to run in elections. I mean, you know, does he... How does that work?
I have absolutely no idea. I mean, as you all know from my previous comments, I think that this whole thing is just really seriously silly and that they should have... you know, just let him have his passport. I mean, it just doesn't really make any sense.
Well, of course they should have let him have his passport, but it's the typical thing. Once they said he can't have a passport, they can't then, you know, go back and do the sensible thing. I mean, they're so paranoid about losing face and all that that they just have to invent this bizarre legal fiction of, you know, making a special constitutional amendment just for him. And I have to say, I agree wholeheartedly with Bidzina when he says that, you know, okay, I'm going to exploit this because I may as well, but let's face it, this is exactly what I've been saying all along. The government treat the Constitution like their own personal plaything and amend it at will when it's meant to be the fundamental law of the land, and that actually demonstrates quite nicely what one of the things that is majorly wrong with the current Georgian government.
It gives me great pleasure to say that I absolutely agree with you 100%. But more importantly than Bidzina, what does this mean for Will Dunbar? I mean, you are a citizen of an EU country.
I'm also a citizen of Georgia. So,
yes, all right, so we got no problem.
Yeah, I got no problem. I mean, next up, Mayor Tbilisi.
Anybody approach you for any? I mean, Mayor Tbilisi, that's a heavy lift. But I mean, any majoritarian posts of like, you know, Chorotsku district or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm looking for a place on the party list. You know, I want something, you know, nice list, and right. high up. You yeah, know, like top a, five, you know.
Top five. All right. So, as Democracy and Freedom Watch reports, because of the 29th article of the Constitution, it says a Georgian citizen is at the same time a citizen of another country cannot become Georgian president, prime minister, or speaker of parliament. That still doesn't really do anything for Bidzina. So essentially this just means that the whole thing will, you know, if it ever matters, which I don't know whether it will or not, it'll get tossed to the Constitutional Court, and we'll see whether or not they'll do what they're told or not. Washington Post writes about how Bidzina is spending a heck of a lot of money on lobbying in D.C. and how,
well, that's one place he can spend his money.
Is that right? Yeah. I'm like, you know, what about London? I mean, is there...
I mean, if Bidzina wants to put in a call, I'm free after six most days. So.
All right. So, yeah, but I mean, you know, there's newspapers here and, you know, that people read and stuff like that. One would think that, you know, with the Guardian traditionally being, you know, a little bit antipathetic to Misha, that, you know, there's some opportunities there for ghostwriting of op-eds or something. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I think that probably, you know, that probably assumes a whole lot more planning and strategy on Bidzina Ivanishvili's part than they
actually
probably
happens.
Have. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, maybe. Well, it's not just about Washington. You know, I mean, somebody should be looking at, you know, at other places as well, especially considering the guy used to be, you know, a French citizen, right? So,
well, I guess he assumes he doesn't need to lobby in Paris when he can just call up his buddies and,
Right. Management services, some company affiliated with Ivanishvili got a fine of almost 5 million lari for violating the law on political party funding. Don't know much more about that.
They fixed up some buildings. So what it was is this company rented out a bunch of buildings around Georgia to house the local headquarters of the Georgian Dream. And as anyone that has been to places around Georgia, many of the rental properties aren't exactly, you know, bijou, should we say, and need a little bit of work done. So they did a little bit of work. You know, they fixed the wiring and painted the walls and so on. And then the Georgian Dream rented the offices off them. And so it's that little bit of upgrade between the state of the buildings as they were originally and when the Georgian Dream officially moved in that is the bone of contention here and resulted in this 5 million or whatever it is fine.
Oh, dear. Oh, well. Okay. Getting a little punitive here. In any case,
it's all right. He's just made $950 million selling one of his assets in Russia, so I think he can afford
exactly the pharmacy chain. The Dr. Stolatok something like $70 million.
And the bank.
Which bank was that?
Wasn't it Rosyjski Kredyt for $950 million? I think it was
$950 million.
Yeah,
that's
a fair coin.
That's something. He's established a new charity organization, the Victims of Political Repression, which will begin helping people with legal aid and as well as financially.
This is the thing that the hardest working NGO in Georgia got a bit antsy about.
And fair enough, because it is, you know, seems to be in violation of the law, as best as we can see.
If you get fired and say you got fired because you support Bidzina Ivanishvili, we will pay your salary up to 1,500 lari a month. Is basically what they're saying. And yes, that does seem a little bit, you know, bribing voters. And it was announced by Sozar Subari, former public defender and sort of, I don't know, lobotomy victim or something, because he's getting really stupid these days, who said, who announced it.
It was a slow lobotomy over several years.
He announced it, saying, you know, we're going to do this, it's going to protect people, it's going to be great. And then when, you know, people that actually sort of think about things said, actually, by the way, that's kind of bribing voters and it's against the law, he said, oh, no, we're not affiliated with this at all. It's nothing to do with us. I just announced it. I just happened to know. And it's, the whole thing is, yeah, it could have been handled better.
Oh, well. There was a sort of, you know, a very low-key, you know, rainbow flags, like, you know, we're tolerant, we accept everybody, but, you know, what was perceived by the Boys with Beards as a gay pride march.
Well, this is the big story. I mean, this actually, it was a gay pride march, and I'll tell you why it was a gay pride march. It was billed as, yesterday was the International Day Against Homophobia, and this was billed as a march against homophobia. Then this scuffle happened outside Don Quino and Rustavelli between the whatever dozen or 20-odd marchers that were and a bunch of priests and bearded youths who, you know, are sort of fascist religious fundamentalists. So this little scuffle ensued. The little scuffle ensued was then global news around the world. It was Al Jazeera, BBC, CNN, etc., etc., etc. And all of those news sources called it a gay pride march. And so that means, you know, by virtue of them having called it a gay pride march, Tbilisi has hosted a gay pride march. It's a proud moment. I think that's a really good
fantastic
thing.
Fantastic. Exactly. Well, I mean, not being in the country, I must say that I wish.
Today, there's another one at Parliament. I was watching it live streaming a little earlier. Outside Parliament, it was a lot bigger. There was maybe 50 or 60 people on the live stream shots that I saw gathered in front of Parliament expressing solidarity with what happened yesterday. So yesterday, no one got seriously hurt. There was a little sort of silly scuffle between some of these priest guys. Some people got carted away in police cars. The activists, the anti-homophobic activists complained that the police didn't do enough to guarantee their rights to protest. But really, I mean, actually, I think all things considered, from what I could see from couple of thousand miles away, it was remarkably successful, and I think, you know, history will be the judge and all that stuff, and yes, the sort of sensible, non-hateful communities of Georgia have come out sort of with something of a victory yesterday, I think.
Which is great, and I hope that next time around it'll be that I'll be in town, it'll be publicized a little bit better, and that, you know, families can come out, and, you know, and we can have some kids and grandparents and everybody in there just saying, you know, let's all just be normal and accepting to together. I mean, I did say, at least of the video that I saw, you know, it tended to be largely people in their 20s, you know, which is great. Nothing wrong with that. They're always in the vanguard. But, you know, it'd be nice to, you know, get some, you know, some kids and older people there, too. Recently, there have been a number of cases of journalists in regions having difficulties reporting on official visits by the president or other big shots and just getting sort of shut out of things. This was the case this week with Misha's visit to the regions. Several regional media representatives complained to the president's office that they were not allowed to get in there, and that only the national channels that are more or less, let's be real, controlled by the government came in. And the head of the press service, Nadia Bonzaladze, responded that we don't know why they don't receive our announcements. That's our problem. We send them. That's their problem. We send them to everybody. Manana Manjgaladze, the president's press speaker, said that the number of journalists is increasing, and it's difficult to be in touch with everyone.
I think we're misdiagnosing the problem here. I think the problem is not that journalists from opposition or smaller outlets are not let in to cover these events. I think the real problem is that these events are covered in the first place. I mean, the amount of stuff on Georgian TV, which is some ridiculous 30-minute-long speech by Misha or some absurd montage of buildings or whatever, is, we've got, there's plenty of it already. And I think those opposition and smaller news outlets should concentrate on the things that they can do, which the national broadcasters can't do, like investigative journalism and hard-hitting reporting and stuff like that, and don't even bother to turn up to these silly press conferences.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I mean, the reality of it is, Georgia, in its stage of development, is like, you know, if the TV stations that the national news can, you know, can cover, I mean, Rustavi 2 and Imedi, and, you know, if those are going to be having half their coverage be you know, high-level government officials going somewhere and cutting a ribbon, that means, you know, that it is in one way or another news, and part of the investigation could be what's actually going on there and what's really happening, as opposed to the overwhelmingly laudatory coverage that it gets on the national stations. But they're just not letting those people in. And then, and it really was a kind of up yours response. I mean, it was like, well, we have the sort of, you have to, you know, register, and the deadline expired last week, and so you can't really register. And I mean, let's be real. They're trying to, you know, make sure that only those that they can ensure will cover it the way they want it to be covered on the stations that they control are going to cover those things. And, you know, that's not healthy. Now, if somebody wanted to spend more time in investigating other little small village stuff rather than going to those, that would be great. But there will continue to be tons and tons of coverage of presidential visits in the period before the election.
That is true. Unless the new law gets passed, well, the suggested law from the NGO coalition, which suggests that in the run-up to the elections, broadcasters shouldn't be able to show these things, which are effectively an ad for the national movement. So.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. So, Misha slammed officials who travel too often with gigantic delegations.
Oh, cool. Pot calling the kettle black.
Well,
there.
Now, hold on. he said that he found out that 30 to 40 people from the Ministry of Education and from Economic Development are going to Brazil to prepare some giant billboard for the conference on environmental protection, although actually advertising, street advertising and billboards are illegal in Sao Paulo, so I don't know where it would be, but anyway.
Also, the Georgians don't really have anything to crow about when it comes to environmental protection.
That's, so. Well, evidently they do, because nobody in Brazil is going to have any idea, so I'm sure they're going to say something. But anyway, he said that he travels much less frequently now and only takes 3 or 4 people, unlike 30 or 40, but I guess people want to go to Brazil.
So, did he say that from Chicago, where he's attending the
Well, that was the thing. I think not long after that statement, he was photographed by Alia, a newspaper that Misha describes as a fascist newspaper. They photographed
not
him shopping,
in,
which is true. I mean, it really is a pretty appalling newspaper. But they do. You got to admit, they break a lot of stories.
They break a lot of stories.
Incredibly irresponsible.
Did you hear that the world is actually going to end because of the Jewish Masonic plot that Misha supports? I think they broke that story.
Jewish or Masonic?
Both. That's the same thing. You didn't
All
know?
Right, of course. what do you know? All right, well, that's good to know. We'll have to aggregate that into our coverage and make sure we get in a podcast the day before. But. Anyway, so he was photographed in Milan.
That was the day after the floods.
The day after the floods. And then Bratislava to attend the semifinals under-17 UEFA championship. And then to Chicago with only what he called a stopover in Milan that obviously included some shopping. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know how big his entourage was for the Milan shopping thing. At least in times that I've seen him recently, a lot of his clothes seem very Milan-ish, you know, favoring the pastels and things like that. But, yeah, I don't think he's stopping at Brooks Brothers. So the EU released its annual progress report on countries within the neighborhood policy, or I think it's now the partnership, or I can't remember which is which. But they criticized the party financing law, property rights violations, which the hardest working NGO in Georgia, TI Georgia, has been doing a lot of work on. Advised the revision of the occupied territories law and a lot of other stuff. I was amidst my travels over the last 10 or so days in Tallinn, Estonia, at a very interesting meeting at which I seem to be practically the only person representing Georgia Board, but a lot of interesting people discussing the area, what's going on. One of the things that I was sort of surprised to hear is that there is sort of a feeling in Brussels that Moldova is now providing a lot of competition to Georgia, that Georgia's moved a little bit farther in reforms, but at least in terms of democracy, that Moldova's pulling ahead. They're, you know, they're very much in free trade negotiations, and the feeling is that the Moldovans are sort of handling that the free trade negotiations quite well. I don't know. I just that was one thing that struck me there.
Well, listen, good for Moldova. Don't get me wrong. That's great, but from Georgia's perspective, being sort of, falling behind Moldova is probably not where they wanted to be.
I wouldn't say falling behind, but I mean, I would say that, you know, before it was kind of like, you know, that was, in terms of the partnership, Georgia was the only game in town, and that seems to not so much be the case anymore. I mean, Moldova seems to be, you know, moving ahead. Also, some interesting comments on Transnistria, that basically Transnistria is just going to become independent. You know, fine. Just let them be independent. It'll be a country, and everyone will accept that, and nobody really cares, which they just want to sort of solve the problem. Huge advantage that it does not have a Russian border. Depends a little bit on what, you know, Ukraine decides to do with it, but, you know. Net Gazette reports that NGO Solidarity with Political Prisoners received a letter from...
The least hardworking NGO.
received a letter from Kasani Prison, where a 25-year-old was raped with a rubber stick by employees of the prison. The prisoner said that he's willing to talk about it. One more problem within Georgian prisons. Let's look to see what the ombudsman says about it and whether anybody in the ministry wants to do anything about it. GHN reports the OSCE might be back in South Ossetia. The head of the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly said this while he was visiting. There was a big OSCE Parliamentary Assembly meeting in Batumi several days ago.
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that the OSCE might be back in South Ossetia.
The more traditional way to say it, it cannot be excluded.
It cannot be excluded that the OSCE will start working again in South Ossetia, but I don't see any sign of that happening.
Yeah, hard to know what...
Well, they've got a new president now, but it's not like...
What the relevance of the OSCE is not so clear. Georgia and Russia might sign documents of non-use of force. Russia's already offered the document. Georgia is evidently taking it seriously and working on a counterproposal. The Russian FSB said on Thursday that they have revealed that the Caucasus Emirate network on the territory of Abkhazia has been plotting a suicide attack on Sochi. In connection with the Olympics, they have said that they've accused the Georgian Special Services of having links with this terrorist organization.
Makes perfect sense.
Doku Umarov I saw pictures of him. He looks exactly the way you would expect him to look, and he seems to be the operative here. Georgia denies the allegation. Eurasianet reports that Abkhazia also has doubts.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, it seems to me that the Russian security services are basically, I don't know, putting out script treatments for a really bad Russian version of 24 or something. I mean, it just makes so little sense that some, you know, unknown Abkhazian Islamic group, which is kind of, none of the Abkhaz seem to know about that, so what is going on there, is working with the Georgians to, in Abkhazia, fire. I mean, it's just completely bizarre. I mean,
there are lots of comments like that, and I think it's probably...
Yeah, but when the Abkhaz themselves, who are no friends to the Georgians, let's be honest, when they come out and say, actually, we don't really know what you're talking about,
Well, once again, I think it's Russian domestic consumption, you know, like to a large portion of the Russian public, you know, when you talk about, you know, North Caucasus, crazy Islamic fundamentalists and Georgians... Well, it's all just a bunch of Caucasian terrorists. I mean, it's all sort of the same thing. They're all the same group, and they all kind of went to high school with each other. You know, I mean, that's...
Indeed. I also really like the way that sort of through their absurdity, the Russian Secret Services sort of big up the Georgians. I mean, the idea, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure the Georgian Intelligence Services are a perfectly professional lot and all that. But the idea that they could sort of, you know, be involved in some sort of multinational Turkish Islamic fundamentalist, you know, subversive insurgency thing is like, you know, it's a little bit far-fetched. I mean, it reminds me
of... Well, sort of like the CIA in the U.S. military and Pentagon and everybody else bigging up the Soviet Union during the 80s,
yes.
You know, and to great lucre, on their part.
Indeed.
Civil.ge reports that Putin met with the de facto presidents of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. He evidently had time for that, but not time to go to the Camp David discussions that will be taking place there. Much conversation about that in the U.S., where I was until this morning, that Putin's sending Medvedev for the G8, and this spells... There was a very interesting article by Anders Aslund, who was also at this meeting in Tallinn, saying that, you know, really Putin not showing up to the G8 meeting should be the end of the G8, that the G8 should just no longer meet anymore. G7 wants to meet, okay, fine, who cares, but, you know, really it's about the G25 now. There was a mess around David Gadeja once again, which is on the border of Georgia and Azerbaijan. No one is, or, well, each side is positive and knows where the border is, but...
Well, actually, that's not true. The Georgians aren't at all positive, but they know where the border is. Nino Kalandadze, deputy foreign minister, in her weekly love fest of a press conference, said that it's actually the Udabno, which is the special bit of the monastery with the amazing frescoes cut into the rock, is 2% of Dagraja, including the Udabno portion, was given to Azerbaijan in Soviet times, which is the first time, you know, a Georgian said that. And then she sort of said, no, that's not what I meant. I meant that the border hasn't been delineated. Guys, please. And essentially, a bunch of Azeri border guards walked up to the ridge, which they claim is the border, with the monastery built being on the other side of the ridge, and prevented worshippers from going there, whereas they let the priests in. Then the Georgians, when the border guards went up there to sort of stop Georgians from like throwing themselves under the guns of the Azeri border guards, then apparently today the Azeris have withdrawn back to their normal zone, but the Georgian guys are still up there preventing worshippers from entering this monastery, which is an incredibly special place. And yeah, so there's going to be this big thing. There's going to be 5,000 priests with flags and da, 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 going to resist the Tartars or whatever they call it.
Tatrebi, not such a polite term, but okay, so the headline is big mess in David Gadeja, and still no clarity whatsoever about who.
The main thing is this sort of gives the lie to Misha's fiction about what great buddies Azerbaijan and Georgia are, if they were such great buddies, and if it literally was a matter of Misha calling his buddy Ilham, you know, in the middle of the night going, hey, can we sort this out, then there'd be no problem here at all. And in fact, there hasn't been a problem there for years. It's clearly some intransigent Azeri nationalist that has made this problem. But regardless, Misha can't solve it. They can't sort this out. They haven't been able to sort it out. This goes to show that, in fact, this relationship that he touts so much isn't nearly as close as all that. Another thing that told us that this week, I don't know if you remember, a couple of months back, Misha showed up in Baku, gave a speech to the Azeri parliament, and announced that Azerbaijan and Georgia would bid together to host the 2020 UEFA championships, the European championships. This, it transpires, was crap. And the Azeris were never interested in applying for the UEFA, the European championships.
Because that might entail people showing up there.
Because they're already bidding for the Olympics that year.
Right.
So it's the whole thing is you know, this relationship is, you know, quite a lot of hot air on Misha's part.
Yeah, seems like it. EU is willing to fund a good part of the Trans-Caspian gas pipeline, according to the EU Special Representative for Central Asia, Pierre Morel, at the CIS Oil and Gas Summit in Paris on Monday. The Arizona, plagued by substantial problems like bankruptcy, resumes flights to Paris, but evidently some people got stuck in Amsterdam. Big problems with Arizona. You know, which somebody ought to clarify this pretty soon, because like a lot of people are not making reservations on Arizona just because they're worried that they're going to get stuck. The Georgian Development and Research Institute made a study about inflation and concluded that the national currency has been devalued almost 4 times after its introduction. Well, of course, we know about 98 and the Russian financial crisis. I don't know which other times they're talking about.
Yeah, it's been more or less stable.
Seems pretty stable to me for quite a while.
10 years.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're talking about the early days. Finally, the Ministry of Finance has officially declared how much has been spent on the new parliament building in Kutaisi.
Is the answer not enough?
Yes, it is not enough. If you've seen the building, it's not enough. 133.7 million lari is the magic number. The opening of Parliament will be this Saturday in Kutaisi, and there will be a military parade. What exactly they'll be opening, is not completely clear. Be interesting to see when they actually move out of the current part.
Well, so they're going to be opening a half-empty building for an institution that doesn't matter at all. I mean, it's sort of,
you know. Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen there. Democracy and Freedom Watch has an article which saying that according to the new amendments to the administrative code, the income of state employees will not be public anymore. The government denies this, saying that that other laws regulate it and that it will remain public information. Misha has a new initiative to build a very big vineyard close to the airport. So it will be the first thing that tourists see after they arrive. We'll also give them a bottle of Georgian wine as they arrive as a present.
Oh, well, that's all right. I mean, fair enough.
no problem there. Misha set up the Society for the Spread of Computer Knowledge. As he said, 80% of the villages will be provided with internet, and Wi-Fi will be on the entire territory of Tbilisi. Well, having just been in Tallinn, where there is, in fact, free, incredibly fast Wi-Fi everywhere.
Everywhere.
I mean, I don't know about the entire country, but everywhere I went in Tallinn, free Wi-Fi, open network, very fast, with a lot of people there using it, I was really, really impressed. Whether or not Georgia will get this, you know, the natural place to start is, of course, the airport, where when they started free Wi-Fi in the airport, it was an open network, incredibly fast, worked great, hasn't worked since.
Well,
you know, yeah. So, you know.
But they do claim that they have free Wi-Fi on the boulevard in Batumi, and I've never managed to make it work, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, ever since the, whoever it was, and I'm not sure who owns it, but sort of hoovered up all of the smaller competing internet companies. I mean, it doesn't seem like the, you know, customer service for Wi-Fi, for example, for those who pay with Caucus Online and all the various those people are not particularly high quality. So I don't know. They'll have to work on that management aspect first, I guess. Famous Georgian football player Kaha Kaladze announced his wish to end his career and go into politics, according to Rio Novosti. Olympic champions Zviadauri joined the coalition Georgian Dream. Beyond Tbilisi reports the Georgian Dream protested in Batumi and demanded that the cable company ERA include Kavkasia, Maestro, and Channel 9 in its package. We'll have to see about that. According to Beyond Tbilisi, the national movement Kaheti branch accuses Georgian Dream of buying votes by distributing free satellite dishes in Kaheti. Yeah, I don't know what those dishes have to cost for it to be, you know, considered a bribe, but
it's low, I believe.
It is
like
low,
15
but I mean, but Magti was selling them quite low as well. After joining Georgian Dream, an Akhmeta resident got an anonymous threat call and was said that he would no longer get social assistance, even though he was eligible. Also, Beyond Tbilisi reports a couple of weeks ago that houses in Tel Aviv had their roofs removed as part of the town's renovation project. Some of the inhabitants state that the roofs were removed without their consent, which resulted in rain considerably damaging their houses. I would imagine roof removal would do that if it rained. There's some need to look into that. The World Bank is evidently funding quite a bit of this renewal in Tel Aviv and other places, and how this is relating to historic preservation norms.
Not very well, I would guess.
Yeah, will be something worth looking at. Kommersant.ge reports that Bank of Georgia will allocate $75,000 for the Borjomi Haragaouli National Park development.
What do you need to develop in it? It's a wilderness. That's the point. It's got some nice cabins. It's got nice ranger networks and clearly marked paths. What do they want to put there?
I don't know. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say 75 million?
No,
it's 75,000.
Okay.
That explains a lot. So what that means, a little hut.
Right. Like one more hut. Okay.
A hut with a guy and a little green people.
All right.
Okay. Indian investors are opening a metallurgical plant in Poti this summer. $12 million are allegedly invested. Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation has floated its debut issue of Euro bonds in the London Stock Exchange with the amount of $250 million.
The railway is going on today, isn't it?
I don't know.
Monday.
Is this AIM or is this bonds?
It's GDRs. It's GDRs, Global Depository Receipts, each of which are worth 20 shares. I want to buy some. Can I just buy some? Can I just rock up? How do I buy one?
You have to have money.
Right. No, I just want one.
I don't know. Well, you'll have to, you know, call a broker and pay him $20,000 in order to tell you that information. There's some strange laboratory at Georgian University, which is established by the Patriarch, which identifies your ethnic background. This is in the Patriarch's University. I guess from now, some guy in the opposition will request the government to do this to see if, you know, opposition members are genetically Georgian. There was a whole press release about this.
How do they plan to do that?
Who has any idea? But watch this Patriarchs University, which is just a lot of wacky stuff going on there. So, you know, watch that. I mean, really, you see the press release. I mean, you have to check it out in Georgia because it's all this kind of like, you know, our national genetic heritage code in there and stuff like that. Yeah,
this is the same institution that offered to give like young kids personality tests to see if they would become drug addicts, right?
Oh, well, really? Yeah, I hadn't heard about that one. So. Yikes. Okay, in Colga this week, across from McDonald's and Rustavelli Metro, we have Since Otar Left, a co-production of France and Georgia, that's tonight at 8 p.m., meaning it's going on right now as we record. Sorry about that. I hope they'll show it again on Monday. Departures, which is a Japanese movie from 2008, and according to Cameron, who we're missing, is an absolutely fantastic movie. Wednesday at 8 p.m. is a movie called The Class, from France, 2008, which I never saw, but I heard was quite good. We were in such a rush to record. We have no question. Haven't figured out the music this week, so I will identify it.
I have a question.
Next week.
I can give you a question.
Let's hear the question.
Okay, so what Georgian city is possibly a street in West London named after?
Wow. I have absolutely no idea the answer to that question.
And I'll give you a clue. It's called Blank Gardens. So it's like it's not called something road or something street. It's called something Georgian Town Gardens. Georgian Town Gardens.
And it's not Covent Sopeli. I don't know. Interesting question. All right, we'll get an answer next week. Anybody has any idea? The substantial body of listeners of Georgians in London and cart velophiles in the UK, please let us know if you have any idea. Not sure what the music will be this week, but I'll figure out something. Will, fabulous to have you back. We miss you. We miss you so much.
Aww.
Come back to Georgia. You know, you're much missed. By all your other compatriots in Georgia. So, that's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-Ray, Tango Bravo Uniform Kilo. Email is tblpod@gmail.com. Please let us know how iTunes is working or if it's not working or anything else we need to know. Post on the forum on our incredibly beautiful new website. With any story tips or stuff you want to say or things that we messed up or if you think that, you know, we'll use bad words or, you know, anything else. That's it for this week. So we'll see you next week. I'll be back in Tbilisi.